blessings, beautiful people. Peace and blessings. Welcome to Bad Thought Therapy. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. I am a little bit under the weather. Was on spring break having some fun, but I was out in the public and I don't know what it was. A lot of people were sick and I thought it was just allergies, but maybe they had something a little bit more than allergies. So I'm under the weather. I'm recovering. Had so many plans. A great life lesson. You can make all the plans in the world, but in the end, God will determine what you're going to do and you're not going to be able to do. So I guess God just wanted me to rest. So I'm going to be in today. I had plans. Actually, I rarely do this now, but I was actually going to work at home this weekend, try to catch up on some things. And no, so I wanted to stop by and just do a podcast. I am putting like 3 different episodes in one single publishing. And I think I'm going to start with this one, and I'm actually going backwards, but I just want to talk about parenting. This is going to be for my parents. I'm a parent. I'm also an educator. I work with a lot of children, and I have something to say. I understand how children become who they become. I don't understand everything, but I do understand some things are very clear to me, and I just want to share some things for parents. And I am going to put an explicit warning on this one because I am talking about some things that may be very sensitive. Sex is a very sensitive issue. And so in how you frame it, it could be perverted or it could be just every little old day in the neighborhood, just a regular old day in the neighborhood. But I'm so concerned, and I know you have seen many of the news reports about all of these outrageous things that you hear in the media. Some of our biggest entertainers or entertainers in the hip-hop music world have been accused of doing some very sadistic and perverted things. And I'm one of those people, I'm always trying to understand the why. So as a social scientist, I see what's happening. What is happening is not new. There is nothing new under the sun. But a deeper question for me is, why is this still happening? And so one of the reasons that I think it happens is because of what people are taught. What people are taught about life, especially about money, about manhood, about success, and about that S word, sex. And you have the wrong cocktail of distortions with those things, and you put them all together and you have another horrible news story. And that's what we have, and we keep having it. So I want to talk about some ways I think we can prevent this or minimize this from happening. This is a really, really hard thing to say, but as parents, we are mainly responsible for our children's behavior. Yes, and I'm a witness. I'm a parent myself. My daughter is 33, almost 34. I'm a witness. You know, you can teach your children right from wrong. You can set a good example, or you can set an example of something not to do and not do it, and yet your children can still do it, and they still make their own choices. And the same is true for us as parents. Our parents taught us things, whether directly or indirectly, and we still made our own choices. We made our own mistakes. And by the grace of God, we're still here to talk about it and share the life lessons from it all. But I do think that we can reduce or minimize some of the evil that we see happening if we would change how we teach things, how we frame things. So there's a lot in the media about sexual perversion. It's been alleged that certain people that are higher up in the music industry have been engaging in some really dark stuff. Forced sex is called rape. So there have been allegations of rape. There have been allegations of things that involve perversion again. And what comes first, the chicken or the egg? And I think a lot of it has to do with how we raise our boys. I remember years ago, and I mentioned this in one of the other segments, this had to be like over 25 years ago. I was working in a middle school, and there was a counselor there, and she had three sons and one daughter. And I don't know what we were talking about, but she sort of had the attitude that porn was almost like a rite of passage. So I think she actually purchased magazines for her sons. And, you know, this woman was, maybe when I knew her, she was in her 50s, maybe late 50s, mid to late 50s. And so it was a different time. Most people didn't understand the negative consequences that porn has. And now, thankfully, more men are coming forth. They recognize that watching other people have sex, watching other people do all kinds of perverted acts, how it affected them. And we need to change how we teach this, that watching porn is dangerous. This, you know, we just have to teach it like that. And why? Well, it is very clear science that we are influenced by what we see. And if you're watching something over and over again, it is going to impact you. It is going to become a part of your psyche. You may normalize things that you see over and over again. You may then want to participate by emulating what you see. And what, I don't know how people miss it. Some of this stuff was created. It's unnatural. It goes against the natural order of things and how we should use our bodies. And I'm telling you what I know, not what I think. I have seen men just cancel so many blessings because they get fixated on watching porn and trying to reenact what they see in porn. And as a result of that, they can never fulfill their divine purpose. It is a consuming thing where all they think about from the time they wake up to the time they go to bed is sex. And a lot of that sex is perverted. They become sodomists. They become people that will just have sex with anybody or anything because, again, and I've said this on this podcast so many times, whatever you feed will grow. So if you feed your flesh, if you feed lust, if you feed perversion, that is what's going to grow in your life. What you starve will die. And as children, we don't teach our children about spiritual warfare. We don't teach them about the fact that they are part spirit. God is a spirit, and it is critical that they connect with God and understand that there really is this battle of good and evil within us and all around us. And if you don't know how to engage in it, you will lose every single time. And so many men have lost their lives. They've lost their money. They've lost their families. They've lost their health. They've lost everything because of perversion. And we have to teach it as it is. And I don't think we do that. I think we sort of dismiss it. I know maybe last year or year before last, I was in a conversation with a guy, and I was sharing this about how the negative impact that, you know, porn has had on many of our men. And, you know, he was sort of casual and dismissive, like, oh, you know, that's nothing. And what does that have to do with you and that kind of thing? And the brutal reality is, if you're with a person and all they're watching is this filth, then they're going to want you to reenact it with them, or they're going to find somebody to reenact it with. And I've seen that so much that no one on this earth can convince me that it doesn't affect them. I mean, it doesn't, you don't have to be a scientist to know that what we see has an impact on our behavior. If you watch violence all day, every day, it's going to impact your behavior one way or the other. The same is true if you're watching sex or if you're watching something positive. It's all about what you put in. And right now, because I'm under the weather, I'm drinking something hot to try to help me feel a little better. And I'm putting this in my body. And whatever I put in my body, I know it's going to come out. The same is true, whatever you put in your mind is what is going to come out in your behavior. And bad thought therapy is all about healing what's in your head. And the way that you do that, you have to see evil for evil and good for good. And if you don't see that, if the lines get blurred, if you think, oh, it's just okay for men to sit and watch men and women have sex, and it's not going to affect them, then naturally you're going to have what you see in the media. It is affecting them. And so at some point, we have to be courageous parents. And we have to teach our children the truth. I don't know what it is. Many parents are afraid to address sex with their children, but they need to. And scientists have shown us that the human brain is not fully developed until you're in your mid to late 20s. So it's so critical to help children understand consequences. You have to help them to visualize, because on a very scientific level, they don't have the cognitive ability to fully understand that if I do A, all of these negative consequences can happen, and I'm not ever going to be prepared for some of these things. But we have to help children understand that. Unwanted pregnancy, diseases, death, shame, guilt, bad memories, so many things. Rejection is very painful, because we're living in a time now where, and it's always been like this, but I think now it's more accepted, where people just use people's bodies and they do it unashamedly now. There is no shame. They just use them and they just guard them like they're trash. And we see that, you know, stuff is put on in the media, videos and things like that. And it's so disgusting and disturbing. And if we don't begin to teach our children, then they will not. They're going to end up on the 6 o'clock news. The whole thing with Sean Combs, I was thinking about his parents. And I know as a parent, you can teach your children right from wrong. Again, I want to emphasize this. And they can still go astray. They can still become wayward. They can still get out there in the deep end of some darkness. And it can happen. But I just wondered, what had they taught him? I really do wonder about what they're saying. And the message is not just with words. Our message is also by examples. We have to heal our own minds to be good examples. We have to understand that without God and without the right relationship with God, I'm not talking about religion. I want to emphasize, I'm not talking about religion. I mentioned this on the other parts of this episode. I cannot tell you how many religious people I know. They don't even know God. They go to church every Sunday. They'll talk about God. They have a good talk game. But there is no real relationship. And you know how I know that? The evidence is in their lives. It is in the fruit. It is in how their lives are structured and set up. I'm sorry. And I just heard a podcaster say this, but I agree with him on this. When a man is a certain age and he's not married, that's an alarm bell. There's something going on there, because men, unlike women, men have at least 20 women to every one of them. Black men in particular, they have so many women to choose from. The fact that they can't love a woman, and this is going to be strong, is a direct indication of where they are spiritually. They can't commit to one woman. They can't be with a woman. They have to play all these games, or they're so afraid. Because at the heart of it, I realize many of them are so afraid. There's some, and usually it's because there's something about them that they're afraid to share and be exposed to another person. And I get that. I do get it. But when a man can't do that and is spiritual, then I already know if it's just religion or if it's really a connection with God. And that's strong, I'm sorry, but that is what I'm standing on. 10 toes down, I will believe that forever. And I've seen, because I've seen it over and over and over again. Maybe there are some exceptions to the rule, but that is going to be rare. And so we're in a crisis, and it's because some, and I'm not just, you know, I don't want to just talk about men, but I do think a lot of this has to do with how we raise our boys. We have to change how we raise our boys. And number one thing is, and this is girls and boys, we have to teach people that success is not about money. I've said this before, that your worth doesn't come from what you have. It doesn't come from a position or title that you're connected to. It comes from the fact that you are born because God made it so. Our worth is determined by our relationship and our alignment with the Most High God. And we have to teach children that. Because as an educator, I mentioned this before, I cannot tell you how many times, you know, I would ask students, like, you know, we ask this proverbial question, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the kids will just say famous. And they have no idea what fame involves. They don't understand that most Black people who are famous, they're in the entertainment business. And when you really start to go down that dark rabbit hole, you'll find there's a lot of darkness connected to that business. If you're going to be Black and you're going to be in that business, you're going to have to maybe give up some things that you don't want to give up. And so we have to reframe that success is not about everybody knowing your name. In fact, you may not even want that. We have to reframe it and say that success is not about money. That success is about making a positive impact in your community. It's about helping people, empowering people. You may do it on a big scale, but more than likely, if you're outside of the entertainment business and you're doing it, you're going to do it on a small scale. No one's going to know your name, and you don't want to be famous. That's another thing. The other thing is, and this has been on my heart, is why is it, I was just thinking about, you know, Africa, the motherland. I'm so connected. I'm so concerned about the recolonization of the motherland and some things that I see happening. I live with my eyes wide open and I stay in prayer for Mother Africa. And what I was thinking, well, why, how is it that can this happen? Why is it that other people, other groups of people are mining in Africa? Why isn't Africa hiring its own people to mine whatever minerals they have and then selling it? And everybody in Africa, it ought to be like, what is this place where everybody's rich? Everybody should be rich in Nigeria. Everybody should be rich all over Africa. And they have it backwards. And I was thinking, why does this keep happening? Why does history keep repeating itself? And it has to do with money. It has to do with the fact that people place so much value on money, they idolize money, that they will toss righteousness to the wind. They will kill anybody, anything, as long as they have money, which can buy them simply things of luxury. There's so many, you can only wear one pair of shoes at a time. You can only live in one house at a time. You can only drive one car. The excess and the idea that you store up all these things that you really can't use, it is straight from the pits of hell. And somebody is willing to sell their soul and get money just for more pleasure, because that's what it ends up in the end. And they will have people killed. They will betray their people. It's so painful. It's not just happening in the motherland, but it happens everywhere. It's not a Black thing. It's a human thing that people have. And how do we reteach our children to place money in the right place? Because I forgot what we were talking about in my class. You know, I teach AP Lang, and so sometimes we get into rhetorical analysis and we have some deep discussions. And one of my students was, we were talking about money, but I said, it's not money, it's the love of money. It's the fact that people love money more than they fear God. They don't understand. Everybody has an expiration date. You're going to be here for a temporary time. And while you're here, I do believe, don't play with it, that we're held accountable for what we do. When you are given more, you're given more to protect the people, not use the people and get everything for yourself and then throw them to the wind. Let them be poisoned. Let them remain in poverty when they don't have to be. That's why you're given the power. But instead, it is the misuse of power because of this thing called money. Yes, we need it. Yes, it can buy us better. But you know what? I was in a conversation in a little text chat or something with my sisters, and one of my younger sisters said something powerful. You know, you can have all the money in the world, but it can't buy you healing. It can buy you medicine. It can buy you better, you know, care. Like, you can have doctors or more people to help you, but it can't buy you healing. Billionaires still die every day. So at the end of the day, we need to teach our children, and we need to be the example, where we understand that nothing else matters but our souls and our relationship with the Most High God. We may get money and we may not have it, but when we make money a God, we put it above everything, We can mistreat people. We can use our power for evil and all to get all this money and then to die. Maybe our children will get it if they have, you know, if you have that much and you die and then you go to hell. And in the scriptures, Jesus taught this just so powerful. What does it profit a man to gain the entire world and to lose his soul? What is more valuable than your soul? And when you do evil to people just for money, when you sell your land, you sell the things that God has blessed you with just for money, you are facing damnation, eternal spiritual damnation. It don't play with it. No, I don't know what happens when we die. I don't know everything, but I do know I'm not playing with that. Don't play with that. Temptation is always going to come. I mentioned that I was looking up some stuff. I was going to one website because I kept seeing on YouTube, they kept mentioning this particular actor that I didn't know much about. And I went to a site and, you know, something popped up, something real perverted and crazy. I'm like, wow, this is intentional. And this had what popped up had nothing to do with the biography of this actor. But that's the kind of thing that you deal with. You're always, if somebody's out here and you got to, let me just back up for a second. You got to pray, because what they want to do, and we're talking about parenting, they want to get the youngest, vulnerable, undeveloped minds. If they can get your mind between the ages of 0 and 25, they got you. And so we have to be diligent about teaching our children these tricks that the enemy uses. No one, I don't care what anybody says, no one really wants to sign up for pain and suffering. But that's what you get when you indulge in things that go against nature, that go against God, that go against humanity. It's always, every single time, going to be a negative consequence. And that's what we have to teach our children from the time they wake up to the time they go to bed. We have to teach them how the enemy works. We have to teach them to be in constant prayer and talking to God and fellowshipping with God and seeking out God's wisdom, God's guidance, God's power, so that we can do the right thing and we can withstand the temptation. Because the way the world is, it doesn't have to be this way. God has given man free will, and the world is all these wars and all these conflicts and all this sexual perversion is a result of men going against God. I'm not talking about religion. Religion has messed people up. Bad religion, not religion. Religion could be good, but unfortunately it's bad because people use it again to have power, to have control. No one is, I rarely hear anybody who is a religious figure encouraging people to have their own personal, organic relationship, authentic relationship with God. If you don't have that relationship under their guidelines, then you're, you know, something's wrong with you and that kind of thing. We have to teach against that. The other thing that I talked about is we have to teach our children about what to do when they make mistakes. All human beings fall short. They make mistakes. And one of the things that happens is that when children make mistakes, we make them feel so bad that what they learn to do is they learn to hide their evil. We don't want anyone to see our evil. And that's understandable because people are ruthless and they will shame you and they will try to guilt trip you. But the reality is those same people who are trying to shame you, they've made mistakes too. Those same people have done evil too. You might not know about it. So we have to teach our children when they fall short, when they make a mistake, or they even have, sometimes they just have the feelings, and this is what's so really unfortunate, they have the feeling of doing wrong. They haven't done it. They have these feelings. They have no one to talk to help them navigate through that and teach them that, you know what? Your feelings are part of being human. And so you have to learn about that battle, that spiritual battle that's taking place every day. Submit to God and resist the devil. But I want to end with this because I'm mixing my episodes up. I did like several little episodes. I want to end with what I have taught on this podcast is your most powerful weapon against evil, and that is prayer. That is your most powerful weapon. I have seen God answer my prayers, Hallelujah, glory to God. I thank you. I thank you, merciful Father. Because when you feel overwhelmed with your children and what you see happening and whatever fears or concerns you have, you have to go to the Most High God and you have to pray about it. You pray that their eyes are open. You pray that they see evil for evil. Because what gets our children more than anything else is deception. It gets all people. People are deceived. They're thinking that I'm doing something that's okay, or they're deceived to thinking that denial means that if I keep denying and nobody knows, then I'm going to be all right. And the answer is no. You can't hide from God. God sees everything. You have to teach. You, first of all, you got to be the example. So you have to be a prayer warrior. You see something in society and it's bothering you, you start to pray about it. All day, every day, I stay in constant prayer. I told my daughter and I, we have this thing now. I said, and I got to find it. I can't believe this place has got so many. But what I've learned is that I keep a prayer book. And I just kind of put all my prayers in that book, or a name or a situation in that book. And then when I pray, I just put my hand over that. But there's so much to pray for, especially our children. The reason why so many of our children get lost, there's no one praying for them. Because people, you got to be careful, get so self-absorbed in our lives. Sometimes it's not even that. You're just trying to survive. You're so busy trying to survive. And you're in the physical realm because you're just trying to survive and get your basic needs. When we don't know the real power to turn things around is when we pray to God and we ask God to help us and guide us, to have mercy upon us, and to change evil and to disempower and disable all evil. And that is my prayer. When I feel overwhelmed and I can't do anything about stuff that I see, and God has already shown me if this is not stopped, the consequence in the end is going to be this or that, I begin to pray about it. And I encourage you to pray over your children all day, every day. Pray for God's protection, for God's provision, that their eyes are open, that they see light, and that darkness is exposed in a way that is unmistakable. Because again, the enemy will deceive us and we will get lost. And if you get lost in that sauce, it's hard to recover. Yes, God is forgiving and all of that, but there are still consequences to pay on this side. I did a podcast maybe 3 or 4 podcasts ago, and I was talking about Sean Combs. Let's say he did all this. I hope he didn't, but let's say that he did, okay? And I was saying that God, we never want to forget this. God is able to forgive him and to heal him and show him grace. Now, people won't, and there still may be a consequence that he has to pay for the evil that he has done to people. However, all that matters is if our soul is at peace and right with God. And that is what you must teach your children. That yes, society may talk about them, may never forget. Unfortunately, we can never undo the past. We can never reverse time. So there's nothing we can do about what already happened. But if we will get right with God, all is well. And that's what you have to teach your children. Well, I'm about to run out of time. This is going to have like three or four different little segments in one. This is all about parenting. Parents, I am praying for you. I know what it's like to be a parent. I'm an educator. I've been an educator and a parent for over 30 years. I know it's not easy. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep praying for your children. Pray for yourself that you are righteous, that you are an example, that you are a source of wisdom for your children. And those children that you act as a surrogate parent for, pray for that. Pray for God to heal you and turn your life around. And that in itself is one of the greatest lessons your children can ever see. Well, again, peace and abundant blessings to you. I want to thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Bad Thought Therapy. Continue to shine. Take care. So much for listening and tuning in to Bad Thought Therapy. I really appreciate you. God bless you and keep you. A little bit under the weather. I was trying to have some fun and being out in the public, you know, it has pros and cons. So, but I'm better. I'm feeling much better. I'm getting ready to make me some hot tea, some good old lemon and turmeric and ginger and all that good stuff, and try to get some rest. I had plans to actually do work at home. I rarely do that, but I actually wanted to do work at home, and I just have to say, God, maybe God wanted me to just rest a little bit longer before I go back from spring break. So I want to thank you all for listening. But as I mentioned before, this is going to be a part of my parenting series, and I'm mainly talking to people with children. And I'm saying to people with children that you have to teach your children what perversion is. You have to teach them about right and wrong. You have to know it yourself. You have to be sane and whole and righteous yourself. And if you're not there, you have to ask the Almighty God to help you get it right so you can teach your children the truth. You can only teach your children what you know. So if you have distorted thinking, that's what you're going to teach your children. If you have a warped sense of what is right and wrong, you're going to teach that to your children, whether directly or indirectly. And that is why we have all the sickness in the world. That is why we have the perversion that we have. It started somewhere. And it's not to blame parents. It's to say there was somebody responsible. And that comes with, usually it's a cycle. So whatever you learn, you teach. And it keeps going, and then you teach that, and the person who learned from you, they teach that. And so someone has to break that cycle. And even as a parent, there's some things that I taught my daughter that I had to go back and say, hey, you know what? My teaching was wrong. My teaching was faulty. I had a lot of distorted views when it came to religion, you know, just bad religious teaching that I passed on, and I had to sort of heal myself. And it's so hard to unlearn things that you've learned, whether they're direct or indirect, and then trying to go back and say, hey, you know. And my daughter and I, thank God, we're very close, and we've been able to have some conversations, because she recognized too how bad, you know, it has been. Not only for her, it's been easy because we can talk through it, but a lot of people can't talk through it. So the pressure that girls have on them to get married and to have children. And when God did not make everybody to have, all women to have children, to get married, that's not, you know, everybody doesn't have that same exact purpose. And when we put pressure on our girls, especially our girls, I don't think we put it on our boys the same way. We put pressure on girls to do that. And then what happens when it can't happen? Because one of the things that, you know, we learn at some point in our lives, that we don't control our marital status. It's not like you can make someone marry you. You can make someone do what is right, you know, in relationships. You can't make someone be respectful. You can be try to do your best and get up every morning and try to live for God and let your light shine and learn and grow. But that doesn't mean that someone else will see you and say, hey, you know, I want to honor you. I want to do the right thing. So we don't really control our marital status. That's a myth that people have. And that's another thing that ties into teaching our children. We need to teach our children that. We need to teach our children that it's okay if you can't find someone, if someone doesn't find you who is honorable, who is respectful, who is equally yoked to you. It's okay. We don't have to, first of all, victimize them, or we don't have to condemn them like it's something that they're doing. They're not this and they're not that. See, I bought into that, and I had this thing where so many of the books that I read, I remember in my days, in my mid, my late 20s especially, when I thought that being single was a curse. I literally did. And the mistakes that I made as a result of that. And so I thought, well, and all the books I read were like, if you just change your hair, if you lose weight, if you do this and you say this and don't say that. And what I found out, and it God blessed me to find this out sooner than later, is that it doesn't matter how you look, because there are beautiful women with flawless skin, flawless teeth, flawless hair. They're abused, they're lied to, they're cheated on. every single day. It doesn't matter what you say or don't say. You can be the kindest, most righteous person in the world, and you're still going to have people that want to be manipulative and want to be mean and hateful and are narcissistic, and the only person that they have ever thought of is themselves. And it doesn't matter what you do. And what really was life-changing for me, I don't know when I read the article, but there was an article in the newspaper years and years ago about this man who went to a yard sale and he bought a bowl. You need to teach this to your children, because you got to teach them about their self-worth and how their worth is not dependent upon the value that someone else places on them, but their worth is determined by the Most High God, that because they are from God and they came through God, through their parents and from God, and they are children of God, that they are worthy to be treated with love and respect. But the bowl, going back to the bowl story, the man bought the bowl, $2 or $3, and later he found out the bowl was worth millions of dollars. And I asked my students, why would anybody sell a $1 million bowl for a couple of bucks? And they all knew the answer. Well, they don't know the worth. And that's how it is. That's how we can avoid a lot of this sickness that you see all plastered all over the tabloids and in the news, is you have to teach people their worth. And it's not based on what they have. It's not based on their job title or their position in life. It is simply based on the fact that they were born, and they were born because God made that possible. Period. There's nothing you have to do. One of the most beautiful, powerful stories in the Bible is when Jesus is baptized by John, his cousin. And according to the biographer, it says that, you know, when Jesus came up from the water, it was like an angel that was descending from heaven onto Jesus. And there was a voice, the audible voice that they could hear. And it says, you know, "Behold, this is my beloved son." And I remember the first time I heard a minister teach this story differently. And it was like Jesus hadn't done anything. God's love for him was not based on his work or his actions and what he did. He was loved because he was God's son. We are loved. And you have to teach this to your children. You have to believe this yourself. We are worthy and we are loved because God said so. Because we came from God, because God made us. And you don't have to have a lot to still be worthy. You don't have to have a particular title in life to be worthy. What you need to be is just like your father is. You need to just strive to be righteous, and that's enough for God. It may not be enough for other people. And that is something you have to teach your children. That is, no matter what they do, no matter how nice they are, no matter how good they are, no matter how good they smell, it doesn't matter. There are people who would never see their worth, because I've talked about this so much. They're simply not connected to God. They can talk about God. They can go to church, but they will not pray with you. Let me tell you something. You know, I've been in this game for a minute. Because I discovered Jesus, and I've told this story through the Salvation Army when I was like 7 years old. And I can tell you right now, there are so many people out there who are just faking it. They don't have a clue. They will go to church every Sunday. People have a hard time, and this is partly because of what is taught. But there's a point when you're an adult, and you should be seeking God's face for yourself. And so spirituality has been criticized and condemned by religious people, because religion is all about rules, it's all about laws, it's all about regulation, it's all about conformity and uniformity. It's not about you have the freedom to have an authentic relationship with God, an organic relationship with God for yourself. And it is, and most of that religion comes from the misuse. I'm going to say this, I'll say this word over and over again, the misuse of these religious texts. It is the misuse and abuse. Sometimes it is intentional. Sometimes it's not intentional. It's simply out of ignorance. but you must teach your children to connect with God. Religion should, and it doesn't always do this, it should help you get closer to God. It should help strengthen your relationship with Him and empower you to be better, to do better, to feel better. But sometimes it doesn't, because, and this is why so many of my students now don't believe. Because you got all these rules and regulations. And let me tell you what happens. When people can't follow rules and regulations, guess what they do? They give up. They say, just screw this. Just forget this. I can't do it anyway. And so that's what happens. Instead of helping people to say, just get to know God for yourself. Whatever it is that God wants you to do, He will put in your heart. Were you really connected? But I'm telling you, you got to be careful, because you have so many fake people out there. And it's not who you think it is. It's not. I'm telling you, they will go to church every Sunday. They will not. If you need something, I'm going to say this, you better not need anything. Better not ask them to help you. Because if it's the wrong day of the week, or if, you know, and they won't even give you a copper penny. They won't even give you, you know, say, hey, look, I don't have any money. Here's a dollar. I know you just lost everything. So you got to be careful about that. You've got to teach your children to have a pure relationship with God, connect with God. He is real. He is a spirit. He's not a man. He's not a human being. He is a spirit. And inside of you is a spiritual being. And that has to connect. It's just like my computer, and I've talked about this, use this as a great analogy. My laptop is charged because I have it plugged up to an electrical outlet. But if I take out that plug, my computer will still work for a while. But at a certain point, because it's not connected, it is going to totally turn off. And that's what happens to us in the spiritual realm when we are not connected to God. Church can be wonderful if it's helping you be a better man, a better husband, a better father. Most people I know, they go and they feel good. And then they can't be a better husband. They're not a better father. They're not learning. They're the same person. They don't grow. I don't know what's going on. They're not growing. They're the same person from literally, when I tell you, 25 years ago. They have not. The mindset, everything is just the same. Nothing has changed. And that's because they don't have a relationship with God. They have a relationship with religion. And that's what you got to teach your children. You got to get right yourself. Now, I'm a person, I will always probably go to church. I don't have, I'm not religious anymore. So I don't have the pressure, if I don't go, that I'm going to be, you know, I'm a bad person or I'm missing out on something, because I'm going to get with God. I know I can't take my next breath without God. I cannot breathe. I cannot live everything that I am. So I understand that I'm connected to the Spirit, the one who made the sun and the stars and the moon and the eclipses, all I'm connected. But going to church, if I'm going to a place that is really teaching me how to get closer to God, then it's going to help me get better. Now, I'm be honest, you know, we got computers now, and my minister's on YouTube. I can watch him and be drinking coffee. I can give my due diligence and my offering if I want to online. So it is different now. But I will always probably go, because it's what it is. It's an act of humility for me. And I'm led to do that, because anytime you can't sit and listen to another person, then you're lost. You're gone. Because then you don't have any humility. And only the humble shall inherit the earth. You must be humble, and listening is one of the greatest acts of humility. And you got these people out there, and that's the thing. You can't tell them anything. So you got to get this right yourself. So here's my message to parents, because I'm trying to figure out, what can we do to prevent our young people from getting lost in darkness? The number one thing we can do is we must be the example. We must set an example for our children. It's not about telling, it's about teaching. Teaching is very layered. A part of teaching is you modeling what you want your children to be and what you want them to do. You must model that. Even if it seems like they're going the opposite way, they're becoming wayward, you still model righteousness. You still model forgiveness and long-suffering and kindness and righteousness. But that's the thing. You must, as a parent, you must be connected to the Most High God yourself. You must seek out God for answers, for guidance, for wisdom. You know, recently it hit me, and I was thinking about this, and I didn't want to have a woe is me moment, but I was thinking about how all my life, I'm 58 years old, when had I ever consulted God about a relationship? Like, when did I ever go to God and say, God, should I pursue this relationship, or should I talk to this person? Should I even deal with this? Like, I was just thinking about that, and I was thinking, I've never done that. And that was terrifying. Like, I've never gone to God and said, God, should I be with this person or not be with this person? Now, one thing I started doing, this was about maybe 15 years ago, I even hated to pray this prayer because it was so powerful. I would say, God, reveal to me the heart of this person. And I remember doing that one time for somebody that I worked with, and God just showed me some things. And the next thing I know, you know, everything had come out. It's going to be exposed. As Cat Williams said, it's the year of reckoning. Well, it's always the year of reckoning. That was a powerful prayer. But I had asked God to, because I was, you know, mentally, I was sort of entangled with this person. I think this person was entangled with me. I think it was like a projection thing. And I was trying to, like, what is going on here? So this was not something that I normally would be dealing with. And he did, and he showed me. But I thought about this. I never consulted God. And we must be an example. We must teach our children and ask them, teach them to ask God, to guide us and to show us, is this the path I should take? Is this where you want me to go? Is this what you want me to do? And God, make it plain. If you don't want me to do this, I won't do it. You know, if it's something you need me to do, I will do it. I know you got my back. Early this year, 2024, I had closed my business in December of 2022. And for an entire year, I wasn't doing any business. And it was the thing, you know, teaching is a very, very full job, trust and believe. And I was thinking, you know, I don't know if I want to do both, because that's why I got out of teaching in the first place. I was overwhelmed trying to do business and trying to teach. And I wanted my business so much. I really wanted to do the business. So a whole year went past. And at the beginning of this year, I was like, well, God, you know, should I renew my license or should I let it go? Because, you know, you get that notice in the mail, you know, about renewing your license. And I had let a year lapse, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. And I had prayed. I said, God, just let me know if you want me to do it. I'll do it, because it takes a lot of energy. So out of the blue, I had gotten an email from someone that knew about us when we were in the mall years ago. And I thought, wow, because I asked her, I said, well, how did you hear about us? She said, well, I used to come to the mall, and I saw you all set up. And I thought it was so wonderful that you all were doing this for the community. And to make a long story short, she had invited us, this lady is a professor, she invited us to an event. And she didn't, there was no charge or anything. And it would just be service to the community. And that's what I always want to try to be. So that was my cue. I didn't want to do business without having my license renewed. I'm one of those people, I believe, give unto Caesar what is Caesar, and give unto the Lord what is the Lord's. I don't play around with the IRS and the government. I don't play around with that. So I renewed my license, and I felt like that was God, because I had been praying, God, tell me, show me, because I don't want it. If you don't want me to, I'm at peace now. I would not idolize my job. I would not idolize my business. I would not idolize a person. Show me what you want me to do. And that's what we have to do. We got to teach our children to seek guidance from God and to seek answers from God. And that's something, like I said, when it came to relationships, it hit me that I hadn't done that. And because of that, I wasted, oh my goodness, Jesus. I wasted so much time. And I created so many bad memories for myself. And that's what, you teach your children so they don't have to do that. That's what I did. I wasted so much time. Now I have to deal with the bad memories. And then if that person, if I have to deal with that person or see that person, I have triggers. And, you know, of course, I've worked hard to forgive and to let go, but I have memory. And I talk about this on Bad Thought Therapy. If you want to get healed and you want to heal your bad memories, you have to deal with them. You have to face them in order for them to be healed and to be, and you have to forgive and you have to let go. But memories are still there. They're always there. They're always going to come up. There's always going to be a trigger. And you have to know how to deal with that. And if you don't know how to deal with that, it can actually cause you to revert back to some things, either going back and feeling the pain you felt before or frustration you felt before. And so this is something that as adults, we're talking about parenting now, we have to constantly work on ourselves to be good parents. And even when your children are grown, my daughter is fully grown. She's almost 34 years old. And guess what? I still try to set an example. I still try to be, you know, righteous. I carry myself a certain way because I know that she's still learning. We're all still learning. And that's so critical, too. And that's what you have to teach your children. You have to, you know, you have to pray. Also pray that their eyes are open. Because let me tell you how the enemy destroys us, especially young people, is distortion. It's when you believe something is wrong and it's right, or you believe something is right and it's wrong. And so you have to understand the enemy will just work on you. And because things, evil things, are not presented as they are. If a man knew what was going to happen to him if he engaged in perversion, the pain and suffering that he would have long term in the end, in the very end, as a result of perversion, he probably wouldn't do it. Or at least he would think twice. But that's not what the enemy shows. The enemy just sort of plays into the fact that we are humans, we are fleshly, and we're flesh and blood. But we have to resist letting our carnality rule us and letting the Spirit of God have the strongest power. And I talked about this story about the wolves, the two wolves, and the Native American story. You know, I have a little Native American heritage there. And so I always tell, you know, this story about the two wolves and the grandfather is teaching his grandson about right and wrong and good and evil. And he says, inside of each of us, there are two wolves. And every day these wolves battle. One wolf represents good and the other represents evil. And the grandson asks his grandfather, "Grandfather, which wolf wins the fight?" And the grandfather says, "The one that we feed." If you watch filth all day, if you engage in it all day, if you don't even resist, you're engaging in it, you're watching it, you're listening to it, you're around it, then that is the wolf that's going to win. The lust, the perversion, the sadism, the sodomy, whatever you're into, and you, usually what happens is you end up into all of it. Because that's what happens is it's nothing, that lust can never ever be quenched. So you feed it and it's an unquenchable thing. And that's how the enemy gets you. And you just feed it and feed it and feed it and you act on it until you self-destruct. Because at some point, it is going to cost you, and it's going to cost you a lot. Whether it's going to cost you your health, whether it's going to cost you your money, whether it's going to cost you your sanity, whether it's going to cost you your soul, there's a price for everything, and that, and the enemy knows that. And so that's what you need to understand, is that in the end, you die. The separation from God is not a necessarily a physical death. It is a spiritual death. But I'm an idealistic person, and I know that if you begin to resist and rebuke, and you say, you know what, God, I've sinned, I've fallen short, I'm just a filthy rag, but I'm tired, and I need you, Heavenly Father, more than I need anything else, and you fully surrender and submit to God. And you focus on God, you focus on the spiritual part. Now, I'm not talking about religion again. Again, there's bad religion, there's good religion. Unfortunately, there's so much bad religion that I focus on you connecting with God for yourself. He is a spirit. He's real. And he will come to you. And he will give you a peace that nobody in this world can give you. You will feel his presence, Heavenly Father, Yah Elohim, and you will feel his love. And I say this to you as witness. And he will begin to heal your mind and your heart, and he can restore you. Now, unfortunately, you may not be able to restore certain relationships because people are not going to forget what you've done, and God has equipped them with memory for a reason. But as long as your soul is right with God, then you are good. You know, the reason why I'm doing this podcast again, because there's so much stuff out there in the news, and we've heard about one big person in the industry, entertainment industry, and then one is commenting from prison now. I don't know how this happens, but he's commenting. And what it made me realize from his comments, that there is no repentance there. There is no contrition. Like, wow, you know. And there is nothing like, and it's all denial, denial, denial. Because that's what the enemy would do. When the enemy get in, you just, it's reprobate. You will not turn. It takes real humility to say, you know what, I was filthy. I was wrong. I did what they said I did. Even if you don't confess this publicly, but you confess to God, you just keep your mouth closed and you just worship God. And guess what? I believe that God can heal and restore. So many people miss out on this opportunity because they're not willing to humble themselves. But this is what we have to teach our children. And this is another thing, and I'm going to have to expand this episode, is when you're growing up, I don't know what this is about. We do not have a healthy response to mistakes. We don't have a healthy response ourselves. And so we don't teach our children that all human beings err. E-R-R. They all make mistakes. They all make errors. We fall short. We sin. When that happens, when we put a cloak or a cape or a sweater, metaphorically, of shame on a person, we don't allow them to heal and recover from their mistakes. So what ends up happening is people start engaging in evil and they hide it now. They're not trying to, they're trying to hide it. They're not saying, okay, I made this mistake. I can come out of this. I fell short. God, forgive me. Restore me. Help me to do better, because it's a struggle. And if you don't focus on God every day, you will lose a battle. I'm just going to say this up front. You got to teach your children this. You have to teach them how to be spiritual, how to pray. It's not religion. It doesn't have to be allowed. You know, real faith and real spirituality is not loud. It's not in front of anybody. It's private. It's behind closed doors. Nobody sees me praying when I'm praying. It's unless somebody just asks me to pray, which is rare, like aloud. It's personal. And you have to teach children that whatever your real spirituality, your real walk, is not what's seen publicly. But you have to teach children how to deal with wrong. Another thing is you cannot make them ashamed when they have the feelings that they have. You have to teach them that they have these feelings and how to address it and how to fight it. Guys, I gotta take another pause, because we're running out of time and I got to keep going on this one. I just got to keep going. It's going to be long. You may have to pause as you listen. God bless you. I'm going to pause again and we'll come back. Thank you. Beautiful people, peace and blessings. Welcome to Bad Thought Therapy. I hope you and your family are well. I'm a little bit under the weather, but I said, while I am off at my weekend, this is the last weekend for my spring break, and I ended up going out. We went to some places, and you know how it is when you're out in the public and there are people sick and they're out, and next thing I know, 2 days later, I was sick, and so I had to end all of my vacation time. But Anyway, I'm feeling a little bit better and I wanted to just stop by. And I didn't know what I was going to title this one, but I think I'm going to put this particular episode under my parenting segment. I'm going to talk to people who have children. And I am also going to put an explicit warning on this one because I am going to talk about a very serious subject. There's so much in the news right now. A lot of news from the entertainment business that's very disturbing. We don't know what is true and what is false, but if some of the allegations against some of these so-called celebrities are true, they are just so grotesque and perverted. You're just wondering, how did this person get here? Was this person born this way? And for those of you who know me well, you know that I'm a career educator. I've been an educator for over 30 years. I've worked with children. And I've learned a lot about human behavior. And for the most part, although there are some people, my daughter is a psychologist, there are people who believe that we're born a certain way. And I have started to look at nature and nurture, you know, differently. And I do believe that we're born with our personality. Character, on the other hand, is something that we need to develop. And I think that when I hear all of these just really crazy stories out there about what is happening in the entertainment business, just what's happening in general, particularly with our young men, I'm wondering, okay, how did they go from a little baby, an innocent baby, to what seems like these perverted monsters? And I think it has a lot to do with how people are raised. It's not everything, because personality is a factor, and that is something that we're born with. We're born with our personality, and that comes from a very complex set of things, because it's some things that we get from our fathers, there are things we get from our mothers, and then there is that little je ne sais quoi, which some would say, you know, is the touch of God on a person. So our personality is something that's very unique. Character is what we learn about what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, what is okay and not okay. That's the part that I want to kind of talk about, and some things that I want to put out there. So this episode is going to be for parents, and I'm an educator, I'm on the front lines, and I'm seeing a lot of disturbing things. And when I hear, like, there's so many, you know, more and more every day, something just outlandish, crazy comes out, story after story about what's happening in this entertainment business, and that, you know, and so it's just very, very painful to see, because there's so many casualties. There are so many people who get hurt, who get addicted, and who die, and they sometimes die in their sin. And because I'm an idealist, I believe that this doesn't have to happen. So I just want to address some things that I think can make a difference. My daughter and I, we were in a conversation. This was a couple of years ago, and we kind of bring this up. But she basically was saying, we were talking about the fact that some people are raised, we know this is true, we're raised or we're taught what is right or wrong. And then people still make decisions anyway to go outside of that. But what I do think is still important is that we should teach children very clearly what is right and what is wrong. And many times people do it in the context of religion without the explanation in the natural, because they're, you know, God, because God is supernatural. That doesn't mean that we dismiss our natural selves. And that is a dimension of our lives that we need to address. And so I just want to talk about it because there's so much sexual perversion out there and some things that you need to teach your child. So I don't know what it is. I think a lot of adult people are afraid to talk about sex to their children. Their way of talking about it, they do, is to simply say, don't do it. Or to turn a blind eye, so to speak, to their children, especially boys. Back in my day, because I'm almost 60 years old, it was almost like a rite of passage for boys to watch porn. And maybe people didn't know how damaging porn was. I don't think people knew. I don't think people cared. And maybe they thought that watching porn was a way to deal with their sexual situation without them actually engaging in sex, which has so many, so many consequences. But I want to talk about some things that we need to be mindful of our children, because I don't believe some of the people that we hear about in the news were born with the idea to do the evil that they've been accused of doing. Maybe they were. I don't believe that. I believe that it's a result of teaching. And when I say teaching, I'm not necessarily talking about someone saying something to a person. We teach children things in a lot of different ways. Some of that is direct instruction, when we say, don't do this, do that. Some of that is how, what we allow quietly, what we don't speak up about, what we don't directly teach. We keep it quiet because we're embarrassed or we just don't think we need to address it. I remember, I don't know why this is coming to me, but I remember years ago, this had to be like over 25 years ago, because I've lived here for 25 years. I worked with a lady. She was a counselor at the school, and I don't know what we were talking about, but she was talking about her sons, having like pornographic magazines. And she didn't think anything was wrong with it. She had, I think, 3 sons and 1 daughter. And she, at the time, you know, she just saw it as, that's, if I think, and if I'm not mistaken, I think she bought them for her son. So that is a mindset that I don't know if people still have that now that so much research has come out and so many men now are speaking up themselves about how porn has negatively impacted them. But I think the number one thing is we need to teach our children that sex is sacred. And we need to teach them that it's a very personal, it's a very spiritual act. It's not just a physical act. And that we should not be engaging in watching other people engage in sexual activity. And how that psychologically affects you. Because most men that I talk to, because I was in a conversation and I brought up the problem of porn, most men will be like, well, that's not a problem. You know, what's that got to do with you? That would be, they would sort of have a casual or cavalier attitude about it. Like, there's something wrong with me feeling like it's a problem. And the reason why it is truly a problem is, it is a scientific fact. It's a scientific fact. It is a scientific fact that we are influenced by what we see and hear. So if you're watching sex all the time, there is no way, and this is, to me, it's just so basic. 2 + 2 = 4. You're going to be thinking about sex all the time. And if you're thinking about sex all the time, you're going to act on it. And if you're acting on it to fulfill just your lust, there are always, absolutely 100% of the time, there are always going to be negative consequences. So I think we need to teach that and how, and we need to, you know, and it's more than just saying, hey, when you watch this stuff, you know, it affects you in a negative way, because what it does is it makes you want to go out here and engage in it, and you're not ready because you're not ready for a relationship. When you engage in that outside of a real relationship and a committed relationship, it creates a whole situation of problems. And we need to be very clear about the problems and the consequences that it creates. And that's another thing in general. And I know people meant well, but a lot of adults, when I was growing up, they would just kind of tell you, don't do this, don't do that. No one really fully explained the consequences to you. See, when you're a child, and research, and some of this is science, research has shown that the brain, the human brain, is not fully developed until you're around 25 or 26. So, and the part of the brain that deals with decision making is the part of the brain that is developed last. So really, you know, and this is just something that's hard for me to imagine, Children do not have the cognitive ability to fully understand consequences. So when you're talking to them, you have to help them visualize those consequences. Having a disease, unwanted pregnancy, a pain from being rejected because someone has used your body, pain of having to know that, you know, you were filmed, you know, at a very vulnerable time, and it may not be something that you want exposed. Those kind of things. These are the realities, and you have to teach the consequences in a way that children can visualize them, because they don't have the cognitive ability to really fully understand what that'll feel like when you're in a relationship and it's not because someone really cares about you as a human being, but they only want to use your body. You have to also teach the consequences of using parts of your body outside what they were intended to be used for. This morning I was, and I just had to turn it off, but it, you know, it was a good podcast and I didn't finish it, but it was a podcaster that I listened to from time to time. And he was saying something really disturbing. He was saying that most men are gay. Well, he was saying when men are not married, he said most of them are gay. And then he started talking, he got real graphic and he started talking about some of the sexual behavior. But what he didn't really address is that a lot of men, they want to engage in sexual relations with women that are unnatural. So they know in deep inside, we know what is right and wrong. And if a man doesn't want to really be with a man in that way, then what he's going to do is he's going to try to engage in a woman in that way. And he's going to want to do unnatural things. And let me tell you, sodomy, you know, you got a lot of sodomists out there. And this is what they do. And so they might not, because there's a conflict within them, they might not necessarily want to be with a man. They want to be with a woman. And what we have to do is we have to teach our children that that is unnatural, that everything on your body has a purpose. If you are using your body outside of its natural purpose, if you are allowing someone to put something in the part of the body that only your matter, your solid waste is supposed to come out of, there is guaranteed to be some health issues. And this guy, this podcaster, what he was talking about, and I thought of this myself, he was mentioning that a lot of these diseases are a result of men engaging in these unnatural practices, because we're talking about men dealing with fecal matter and blood and all these different things. And when men don't do it with men, but he didn't mention, and I wanted to bring that up, they would do it with women. And they try, or at least try to. You know, if a smart woman is not going to let herself be used. And ladies, I'm just going to say this. If you have a man and he is always trying to engage in anal sex with you, you need to let him go. Because that man is, if he will, the thing that distinguishes you from a man is your vagina. And when a man no longer wants vagina, he is no longer heterosexual anymore. At that point, he can have sex with anything or anybody. And so you have to let him go. And this is a thing now. And so we got to teach our children this, that there are grave consequences when you go outside of what is natural and you use the body in an unnatural way. And you have to, you know, in this kind of graphic, but you have to talk about that. You put your mouth on different things. And, you know, we just have to be real. And this is all this perverted stuff that's coming out about some of these entertainers. Now, in some cases, it is consensual. So these are two adult people that know what they're doing. They've made a decision. But what the allegations are is that there are children involved. There are minors involved. Their brains are not fully developed. They may not fully understand the consequences. I just heard something, and this is another scary consequence. It was a guy, he's been around on YouTube now. He's the former bodyguard of one of these perverted entertainers, or alleged perverted entertainers. And he was saying how he went to a party and he brought his girlfriend and her friend. So at some point during the party, he's looking for his girlfriend and he can't find her. He's going in all kinds of rooms. He's trying to find her. He's seeing all kinds of crazy things. And then finally he goes outside and he looks in his car. and he sees his girlfriend and her friend pass out in the car. And they said that as soon as they drank something, they immediately started to feel dizzy, so they rushed to the car. And that's another negative consequence when you're dealing with people who, I don't know how to, I mean, I don't understand this, but some kind of way they have totally dehumanized themselves, where they are no longer can think about your humanity and how dangerous it would be if you're poisoned, how it would hurt you in so many ways, and they were willing to poison you and put something in your drink so they can take sexually advantage of you. That's how sick and low they are. And they might even do it to their own mama. I mean, that's just how bad this is coming. This stuff is coming out. That is what you have to warn children about. That's another consequence of being in spaces like this. And it has to do with, we're talking about raising kids, it has to do with our value system towards so-called entertainers. You know, God has been answering my prayers. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Yah Elohim, Tod Rabbah. Thank you so much for answering my prayers. I have said on this show many, many times, if you want healing, if you want to see the world change, if you want the walls of Satan to come down, and you can't go out there with a magic wand or a shotgun or a sword or however, you know, whatever personality you have, you can't do it. What you've got to do, what you must do, and you must pray for your children, you must pray. You must pray to God with everything you have, with a sincere heart, to protect your children, to open their eyes, to see perversion for what it is, and not to focus on being celebrity adjacent or wealth adjacent. There are people who are literally, they think they want to be famous. They think, you know, in our country, the richest black people in our country are in the entertainment business. Not all of them, but many of them. So if you are poor and you think that money, if you just had money or if you just had fame, that your life would some kind of way be better, then you might feel like, because it's one of the lowest forms of power, that if I become close to these people, I can get some of that power. I can get some of that money. And that's how a lot of people get trapped. That's how a lot of sick people get caught up in perversion and end up having to spend a life of regret, bad memories. Sometimes they can't handle that, you know, those memories and what they've done. They call it selling your soul. Were you willing to do anything for fame or anything for money? And it doesn't matter what. And you're willing to violate your own body or violate somebody else's body. That is how bad it's become. And we have to teach our children. And I'm jumping around. Yeah, I'm just, you know, just got all over the place. We have to teach our children not to do that. It is not worth it. God, you can, and it comes with redefining what success is. I know I often talk about writing, and one of the things I want to write about is success. Because when I was growing up, I sort of had the same kind of mindset that success was, you know, you have money, you have power, you have influence. And the truth is that you may not have money and be very successful when you understand what success is. You may be able to empower people and be broke, and you may be able to empower people and people don't know you. And it's a good thing. Right now, it's a very good thing. You don't want to live your life in a fishbowl. And so all of these things you have to teach your children. But before you can teach your children what perversion is, before you can teach your children what success is, you got to know what it is yourself. And at the heart of a lot of the problems is, a parent cannot teach his child or her child what he or she doesn't know. We as parents have to set an example. We have to get right ourselves and teach our children righteousness when we are righteous. And we have to set that example. And that's probably the number one problem. If we are fixated on money, or we think that having money or having fame means that some kind of way you're better or your life is better, and we have that distorted and twisted kind of thinking, we have to heal from that. You know, I had a business, I told you all this, in a mall, in a public place, and every now and then a celebrity or somebody from the entertainment business would come through the mall, and people would go crazy. And I remember this one person came through, and I'm gonna be honest, I didn't even know who the person was, you know, because I don't even keep up with certain genres of music, and I'm not that into maybe the artist. Even if I were listening to the music, I'm not necessarily thinking, if I saw the artist, I would just go crazy. But anyway, I remember this one older lady, and she was like, oh, that's so-and-so in here. And she was just, they were just going crazy. They thought that they had seen, it was like Jesus, what I would expect somebody would react if Jesus came through. That's how the level of idolatry that they have for these entertainers. And there was a time when one entertainer, you know, he did some special things at the mall for the community. It was beautiful. We didn't get into that money, though. I'm a little upset about that. But anyway, he came to the mall, and people almost lost their minds. It was unreal at the level of idolatry that was demonstrated. And it was clear. And it was all because he had money. And he was well-known. He wasn't really doing anything, you know, singing anything that was positive or necessarily. But it was just because in our minds, when you have been so oppressed and you've been denied and you don't have anything, you see having something, no matter how you got it, no matter if you put out pollution to get it, no matter how evil, whatever evil you did, you see that as making it. And so a lot of times people feel like, oh, if I can be adjacent to the people who have this position of power or have this money, then some kind of way I'm going to have some. And we have to change that. You don't know if people had to sell their soul to get whatever money they have. And, you know, you got to I think we need to redefine fame. And I think we need to reconsider fame. You don't want to necessarily be famous. When you start getting a lot of attention, you realize there is a downside to all this attention and being out there and putting your life out there and putting your image out there. There's a downside to that. And recently I heard, I love this. I'm going to talk about it in a podcast. But Beyonce did this little speech about, she received an award, an innovator, the iHeartRadio Innovator Award. And she talked about, to be an innovator, you know, what it takes. You know, you have to be able to do something that people are saying is impossible. You have to be able to deal with criticism and how that challenges your mental strength. And I thought it was a very profound thing to say. And she's coming from the entertainment business, I know. But I had to say that was a great speech. And it's so true. There are challenges. So we have to rethink that. We got to teach our children. Over the years, as a teacher, I cannot tell you how many times we ask this proverbial question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you would be amazed that every single year, for 30 years that I've asked that question, there's always students that say, I want to be famous. They don't say, I want to be a doctor, I want to be an accountant, I want to be a teacher, I want to be a nurse, I want to be a pilot. They say, I want to be famous. Because what they think is that, because what they really want is attention, and they want admiration, and they don't understand. That's another thing that adults have to work through so that they can help children work through. They don't understand that attention is a double-edged sword, that admiration is something that has to be done with respect. And if you get admiration, people admire you for doing evil, then it has a negative side. To the point, you got people out here just doing stuff, being outrageous for the sake of being outrageous, just doing shocking things for the value of shock so they can get attention. Attention is a need. It's something that I've taught my daughter, who's 33 years old, almost 34, and I've taught her this over and over again. Attention is a need, and you have to be very careful about that need, getting that, and it's a healthy way to get attention. Or when you really reach self-actualization, you learn you don't need attention from people. You're not even thinking about attention from people. Your goal is to fulfill your purpose, and you have a divine purpose from the Most High God, and all children come forth with a divine purpose. And let me tell you, I'm going to press pause in a few minutes. In order for that to be fulfilled, you have to understand that you have to resist flesh. You have to resist the enemy. Again, these are things we have to teach our children. Spiritual warfare is real, but you can't teach your child about it if you don't know anything about it. If you don't even believe that it's happening, and it is. Just like there's a real force and entity of light that wants you to have peace and love and joy and health and all those wonderful things, there's a real entity that doesn't want you to have it, the spirit of darkness. And there's this battle. And what it is that because God does not force us to do right from wrong, you have to choose. Every day of your life, temptation is knocking at the door, or you're exposed to, you may not even be tempted, but you're exposed to perversion and filth, whether you try to or not. Here's a case in point. I was, I was on YouTube, and there was this entertainer, and I saw his name. Yeah, I didn't know this guy. I never watched the show that he was on, and I just saw the name, and I kept seeing the name. So I decided to look up the person's name. And when I did, I went to the website. I was clicking on different websites to read, well, what happened to him, and why do they keep saying his name? Because it was connected to Sean Combs. Some crazy stuff, I'm gonna say crazy, popped up on the screen. So one website had just put perversion on the website. So you just look, you think you're looking up, trying to get a biography on this person. Well, they purposely, it's a trap, it's a trick. But if you don't see that for what it is, then if you don't see it as filth, you don't see it as disgusting, you won't treat it that way. And I can imagine some people probably, I done found it inside. Some people might look at it totally differently. And that's what we have to teach our children, because these boys and girls grow up to be men and women. And when they don't understand what is right and wrong, and they don't have a clear understanding, hey, I won't do this no matter what, nothing is worth me canceling my soul, my salvation, nothing is worth that, then they will do anything. And that's what's happening. Let me press pause, y'all. Let me just pause for a second. I'm gonna do a little second part of this, but this is longer than I want to go. But anyway, I want to say, first of all, thank you so much for listening and tuning in. I'll be right back. Let's take a break. Bye-bye.